When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hello, producer Matt.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. You were telling me something pretty exciting, and I thought it would be an interesting thing to tell the listeners who are listening right now.
Yes. Well, the news is, if you actually don't want to hear from me again in this context with ads, all you have to do is join the Patreon. And you can get an ad-free office hours experience.
So right now, there's rubes listening who are not paying, but they're listening to ads after ads.
Yeah, such as this.
I don't listen to the ads. I don't pay attention to that aspect of the show. Yeah, but you're telling me there are ads in this podcast.
Oh, whoever's hearing this right now, their experience of office hours is littered with ads.
Yuck. You want to listen to it ad-free? What do you do?
You just go to patreon.com/officehourslive.
What's that going to cost me? Hundreds of dollars?
Oh, not even close. Not even. For $55, you can get a whole year of Office Hours entertainment.
$55, how much? You can do it for $5 a month, correct?
If you're a fool.
Right.
You would pay... You'd pay $60 for a year at right. $5 a month.
Dripping the money in every week.
Yeah, like a fool. Or you can just cut your check.
Sign up for the year, because we're not going anywhere.
No, we'll be right here. And if you pay, then you don't have to hear this kind of junk anymore.
Ad-free for patron subscribers. That's big.
No.
Let's lock the gates and start the show.
I like having fun. I like to laugh. I like to meet people who can make me laugh. I like having fun. Yes, I like it to laugh. I like having fun to meet people who laugh.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Tim Heidecker, host of Office Hours, coming to you live here in Glendale, California. It is 10 a.m. on the Pacific Coast here in Glendale, California. It is Thursday, February 25th. The year is 2021. And we are here for you. We are here for the listeners. This is a call-in show at the heart of the show, which I began all by myself. Going on almost 5 years, Doug. 5 years we've been doing this program.
160 shows? Something like that?
No, not that much. 146, I believe. The genesis of this show has been let's connect. Let's, like, what does Garth Brooks say, Vic? I want to connect. I found out about Facebook Live and I thought, hey, that sounds. We got to find that clip. I'm lost on the actual particulars of it. That sounds cool.
I like that.
Yeah, that's what it says. I connect with the crowd, with the masses, with the audience,
well,
the fans.
Official.
Go ahead, play it.
Facebook. I really wasn't sure about this at the start. But then a friend of mine said something that just made all kinds of sense. She said, think of it more as a conversation. I like that.
There you go. I liked it. I liked that I could tap out, and go home.
I liked that.
I could connect with the crowd. Now, as the show grew, I brought Doug in. I said, Doug, come on by the studio. Come play some music and samples and chat with me. Then Vic came in when Doug couldn't. I finally reunited them, got them all together. Created the Holy Trinity.
I like that.
The dream still lives. And my dream.
And we talk to people.
I like that shit.
I don't care where you're calling in from. I don't care what you believe or what your point of view is. Call in. We could talk. Then.
I like watching people work hard.
We'd get celebrities to call in. I'd get friends who I've worked with in the industry to call in. Then we said, let's keep booking guests, music, authors. Musicians.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Documentarians.
Mostly documentarians. Mostly. Health experts. Science wizards.
Experts.
Doctors. Sorceresses.
Can't we just communicate?
But at the heart of this show is you, the audience, who I rely on. You're my life. You're my... what's the adrenochrome? You are my adrenochrome, ladies and gentlemen. So today we scrapped the schedule. No guest. Nobody. Someone's going to call me and say, so who backed out at the last minute? Who turned out to be a rat? Who turned out to be a flake? In this business, there are plenty of them. That's not the case. This has been on the books as a no guest. This is almost like Bill O'Reilly's no spin zone. This is a no guest zone. You're the guest. We will be having a guest, J.P. Hassan, call in later. A friend of mine. He's got a new project out that I'm excited about.
Look at these guys.
So we do have a guest.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we do have a guest.
Yes. And Bob Dylan's going to call in, apparently, with his new album, Rough and Rowdy Ways. He's going to be talking to us about the process. And his amazing life story, becoming
a musician
in the 60s and going on to great success there. He's also a published author and a builder of, he's a welder. He makes gates. And, of course, we're going to talk about Heaven's Gate, his whiskey.
He's got a whiskey?
He's got his own whiskey. And he's going to play a few songs for us. So a lot to get to today. He's going to play the Murder Most Foul.
He's going to play live on Zoom, Dylan, huh?
Bob Dylan's going to play Murder Most Foul. That's his latest 15-minute saga. And then he's going to play Desolation Row. And sad-eyed Lady of the Lowlands. That's his set today. That all starts right now on Office Hours. City of the Day. And we might not get a chance to get to your calls today, but we'll do our best. See, the day is brought to you by
City of the Day.
City of the Day brought to you by. This is cool.
It's the City of the Day.
City of the Day. City of the Day is brought to you by the BERT certificate. The American Society of Names is proud to present the BERT certificate, ladies and gentlemen. The BERT certificate. Finally, anybody named BERT can finally get certified on very nice paper with an official BERT stamp. Now, you might be asking, is that for BERT spelled B-U-R-T or BERT spelled B-E-R-T? Well, good news. We accept both. And now, for a limited time, if BERT appears in the second half of your name, you can also qualify for a BERT certificate. Robert, Norbert, Albert, Dilbert, Gilbert, Egbert, Dorkbert, they don't even care. So if you're any kind of Bert, you're going to need this thing. Imagine you're at a party and someone asks, oh, you're Bert? What kind of name is that? Well, just show them your Bert certificate and they'll shut up. And you can talk about something else, such as sports or hot air balloons. Calling all Berts, it's time to get certified. I say Doug, by the way, I think it's 2 years, 2023 or 2024, you'll be required to carry your BERT certificate. So might as well get on it now. Just go to endlesstruth.wizard/names to get started. What's that? The BERT certificate from American Society of Names. That's the ASN. Thank you, BERTs. We'll see you on the site. All right. The city of the day is... Ooh, Miami, Florida.
Just go ahead now.
Is it still hot out there?
You bet it is.
That's real hot.
Now, Matt, producer Matt tells me that there has been a code. Now, I wonder, are there people at home, listeners at home, who have been keeping track? I'm not particularly interested myself in cracking the code. I am merely the host of this show. I'm not a contestant. So there is a... there must be people out there who are working hard at cracking this. You're saying it's an almost impossible code.
It's very hard. There is a Twitter. There's a Twitter feed that tweets it every week and tracks it in a Google Doc.
What's the odd account? City of the Day. At City of the Day. By the way, we're also broadcasting on the Office Hours Twitter page and the Facebook page and Twitch, and we're blasting wide today just to see why not. And the question of the day, this is going to be fun. We've designed the question of the day to be a what I believe is going to be a huge game going forward. As you all know, I mentioned, by the way, good morning, Doug.
Good morning, Tim.
I apologize. I did not say hello to you. I, of course, said hello to you as you came in this morning.
Now we'll do the fake good morning.
I want to clarify something and make sure that I'm not wrong about this. I believe I literally patted you on the back today.
I think you did. I
came like in, I went, pop, pop. Hey, put, good. It was like, man, sometimes it's just good to see Doug.
Sometimes
hello,
it's on the
baby.
Sometimes it's on the ass. Sometimes it's on the back.
And no, I don't
you never know where Tim's going to
touch. It's never inappropriate here.
You never know where Tim's going to touch.
No, no. No. And you're wearing, you're going a little cute. Flashback or something with those glasses. Oh, you're not wearing your glasses.
Oh, he took them off. He put his contacts in.
Sorry. Oh, I didn't realize. You were wearing some throwback glasses when he came in. Oh,
these guys?
Yeah.
I did have frames like this in high school. Yeah, they are kind
like
of
the Ralphie.
Are they new?
They're Ralphie kind of looking.
They're kind of new, yeah.
You got those fresh.
These are fresh, yeah.
Lens crafters?
You know it.
And Vic, hello to you. I've kind of unofficially acknowledged you.
Yes, we've kind of got that across. That's fine.
You chimed in.
Yeah. I did. I demanded.
And I'm happy when you guys chime in.
Come here, son. Come here.
The game. The question is also a game. Now, last week I talked to Robert Popper. People are saying last week's show was one of the top shows. I happen to agree. Robert Popper, of course, is one of the most entertaining and funny people I know on this planet. And I was telling him about this great YouTube channel that I'm obsessed with now called Feature Man. And it's this old guy who makes these little, you know, simple recipes on his kitchen stove.
Hello, food fan.
There you go. And if you're a member of the Patreon community, this weekend I launched my own spoof of the Feature Man things with my how to make a smoothie tutorial. Which you can find now at patreon.com/officehourslive.
I like food.
Robert wrote me. I told Robert about this channel. I sent him the link. He wrote me saying, now all I'm doing is watching these guys' videos. Me and my wife have watched like 9 of them. And I was reading that Martin Scorsese essay about the value of film. And I believe him. And the whole... You know, how we've taken the idea of film as art, and now it's turned into content and a commodity, and it's just like it's all on the same level, you know, as TV shows or just, you know, something to fill the time with. And Martin Scorsese says, no, film is art, and we need to support it. And it was all in the context of talking about the re-release of all these Fellini films. And over the past week, I've been wrestling with this dilemma. Do I watch 8 and a half or do I watch Feature Man? Do I watch La Strada or do I watch Feature Man videos?
I don't know.
And guess who wins every time? Hello, food fans. I get trapped. Of course, I've also just finished the Adam Curtis, latest Adam Curtis 6-part series, which is also very, very good and depressing and makes a lot of sense. But the game today is going to be called, what is Feature Man's secret ingredient?
Hello, Poochie.
And we're going to show you a clip here, and you have to, now there's a bit of a trust, what's going on? You're just queuing it up?
Yeah.
There's a bit of a, you know, we have to enter into a compact here
There's somebody out there, some rat might go online and look this up. I'm not encouraging that. That's cheating. And you're a rat. And you will be found and exterminated like all rats should be. So here's the feature man, and we'll stop right as the secret ingredient is about to be revealed, and throughout the show, we'll take your best guesses.
Hello, food fans. I'm going to make a sandwich today, and this is a fast sandwich as far as cooking.
Trust me, it's not a fast
sandwich. It's not fast.
It takes forever.
I'm getting some of the ingredients here.
We've done some light trimming on this, but it's still impossibly long.
And you can use any kind of pasta sauce you want.
Fellini would not put his camera at this angle. It's just an awful angle.
Well, it's kind of menacing.
It's menacing. It's kind of canted.
Hello, food fans. What's on the menu today is you. I'm going to be eating you later.
One slice that I will cook in the microwave.
So we got tomato sauce, turkey bacon.
I like my bacon crisp. I will have some pickles.
And some pickles. That's not the secret ingredient. So the sandwich is tomato sauce on toast with melted cheese and pickles.
And turkey bacon.
And turkey bacon.
Microwave turkey bacon.
You can get some pizza-style grated cheese.
And we're ready to begin.
And Matt made a little
edit there. Here, one slice of
that
one
looks very
minute
appetizing.
In the microwave
okay.
oven.
So that's those,
the,
this is the core components of this particular
small
meal.
Sweet pickles over here.
Great slice American one vertically. Food.
Great American food. He puts the
horizontally
tomato sauce
and
on there
going
and
add
some cheese.
Some pizza sauce.
I'm very agitated by this right now.
Any sort of pasta sauce you happen to like. Some people like it with mushrooms.
Mushrooms? Okay.
And some like it with meat, and some like it with
anything.
Tomatoes and basil. All
right.
Now what I'm going
there
to
you
do
go.
Is sprinkle some cheese onto this
now.
Pasta sauce.
Quesadilla.
Okay, so we have the pasta sauce, the cheese, the pickle, and the bacon. And your job today, folks, is guess what the secret ingredient is.
Spaghetti and meat sauce.
So this, Tim, would this would be something to accent the flavors that are there already?
I suppose. I don't know.
We have some cheese.
I guess you can make that argument.
I'm just trying to help the viewer.
Right.
If you guess correctly and can prove that you didn't cheat, you will win a $500,000. Oh, wait, pack
so,
it up just
so
a second.
So are the pickles like a side dish, or do they go on?
They go on the sandwich.
Wait. Is the secret ingredient coming on now?
Oh, stop it, yeah.
Yeah, don't.
It goes right to here. You better pause it.
Yeah, pause it right there.
I did. My pause button.
Ooh, that was close.
It was a close call.
That would have been a disaster. Let's take a zoomer and see if we have any initial first guesses.
I like olive
Anyone
butter.
Have a guess in here?
What is the secret ingredient, Zachary? Or talk about something else. I don't really
care. We got two Zachs in a row here. Zachary Harris, can you unmute on your side? Looks confused. We might have to go to Zach
Hello.
Washbond if you can't figure it out.
Come on, kid, you're nervous.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Where'd you go, Zach?
Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, I'm not Zach.
What are you in the band Stained or something? What is this?
How did Bip get? All right, Bip, you're on. I don't know how you got unmuted. Landon, did you unmute him?
What I don't care about, Matt, is the muting and who's on. You know what I mean? Don't have that whole conversation with the intern on the show. Jesus.
Bip, you got something? Got a guess?
Yeah, the second ingredient is some pickled serrano peppers.
Pickled serrano peppers is the guess. Matt, is he right?
Not right,
sorry. You got something else for me, or are you just here to play the game?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'd love to see a Mr. America sequel. And I don't know if you know, I know with COVID, it's a scary time for travel, but all of the European countries that I know of give large filming grants for people to film movies here.
I'll take it. What about Mr. America himself goes to Switzerland to run for office there. How about that? How about we make
that'd
that?
Be good.
Or Spain.
I'd love to see Greg come down to Ireland where they filmed Star Wars. You know, all the...
They filmed Star Wars in Ireland?
Yeah, where Mark Hamill's hangout in the...
I don't know. I don't think he was... Doug, I don't know if he was Han O Solo. It was just Han Solo.
That's
Luke O. Skywalker. Come on, man.
I'd love to see just Craig they filmed make it there.
Princess Olea.
So you can, I can come keep to going Ireland
if you'd like. Darth O'Vader.
And the filming location is owned by the state, so it would be free to film at, you know, as long as you get insurance there.
I watched that behind-the-scenes making of the Lord of the Rings. No, not the Lord of the Rings. The Game of Thrones. The Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah, that's in the north.
Yeah, Northern Ireland. That was cool. Doug, did you see that? You'd be into that.
No, I didn't watch any behind the scenes. I want to keep the magic alive. I don't want to see the actors being regular people.
It was I teared up a little bit because it was just like the amount of, you know, whatever you think of that show, the amount of work and sweat and love and communion that goes into making those big things is real. And there's this woman that was doing all the prosthetics and special effects on the faces and stuff. She's this really sweet woman, and her husband were like a team. And they, I mean, it's just like they kind of bid on this job to do that part of the show and didn't expect to get it and then got it. And they were like really not prepared to do that scale, that kind of thing. And so,
wait, so
like,
Game of Thrones had bidding wars to get the cheapest makeup people?
I don't know if it was the cheapest. It was just like you bid for a job like anything else. Maybe it's some of it's based on affordability, but.
You know, over 300 people died in the making of Game of Thrones.
That's not true. Is that true?
Really?
Yeah, a lot of people die.
But this poor woman had a kid, like a daughter, like my daughter's age, maybe a little older. And she was like, I've been gone. I can't see my kid. It's like, and it, you know, she understands, it's the choice she made and they're making it work and everything. But you know, it's just touching. It's touching. Sorry, I have a heart. Not like you guys. All right, we'll look into a European Mr. America sequel. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Okay.
I think Variety is calling me on... hold on, my phone's buzzing. Why is... Oh, here it is. Hello? Yes, this is Tim Heidecker. Yeah. yes, I... well, we're not... We're far from anything official, but thanks for your interest. Okay. That was Variety magazine calling for a quote about the new Mr. America sequel. They're on it.
Variety wants to...
That's cool.
Yeah. Oh, damn it. I should turn this off. Hello? Yes, yes, yes. No, I'm just talking to my audience about that. I'm not, there's no plans. It was, I understand. Well, thank you for your interest. That was Hollywood Reporter. Wow. Very. Hello? Oh my God. Yes, put him through. Mr. Spielberg, a pleasure. Yes, I'm doing my live broadcast right now. I apologize. I can't speak right now, but. Oh, well, we'd be honored for you just to even consider. Thank you, sir. Goodbye. Bruce Springsteen called and Steven Spielberg called and said that he wants to direct the sequel.
Come on.
Kind of neat.
Do you smoke cigars?
All right, who else is out there?
Where?
In the wide world of the Patreon community and the Office Hours community.
Let's go.
Let's check in with... Well, Kevin Doyle dressed for the occasion, so I think we should...
Show him some respect.
Show him some respect.
Thank you for calling in from Ireland, I assume, unless you're... Were you calling in from Ireland? Yes.
We'll see tonight, the stress factor.
Kevin
Sounds
Doyle,
like he was.
Are you there?
Hi there, gentlemen.
Kevin, what's the deal?
Yeah, I got all dressed up and cleaned up for you guys. I don't know. It's award season. You gave it to the viewers.
You look a little like Harvey Keitel in Pulp Fiction.
Hi, this is Vic Berger here, and you know I don't like stress. That's why I'm personally inviting you to eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious meals. Every Factor meal is fresh and never frozen, it's chef-created, dietitian-approved, and it's ready to eat in just 2 minutes. I tried the Chef's Choice meal plan, and it was a chef's kiss of meals that hit all the spots and filled our bellies at the Berger household. I know you're asking yourself, what were Vic Berger's favorites? Creamy Dijon pork tenderloin and garlic herb salmon. These are classic dishes that are ready to go with no cleanup and not a problem at all. So get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals. And get back to doing what you love this spring. Now, these are premium meals with premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Sign up now! Head to factormeals.com/officehours50 and use code officehours50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code officehours50. OFFICEHOURS50 at factormeals.com/officehours50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
The wolf?
The wolf. All right, gentlemen, here's what we're going to do.
Weren't they supposed to make a movie of that?
Oh, the wolf, his, the is there a Pulp Fiction cinematic universe to be explored?
I think so. Well, yeah.
I bet John Travolta pitched a bit where he's like, what if my character was a pilot? Because you know I can fly.
Yeah.
I'm not masturbating.
All right. What do you have, Kevin? Anything for us today?
Well,
you have
I've been watching a lot of, a guess. Well, my first guess, which I put in the chat, was he just seems to use powdered sugar on everything. So I figure that goes pretty well with turkey bacon.
Yeah, no,
I usually put three heaping spoonfuls of powdered sugar on my turkey bacon.
Is the chat behaving that no one's looking it up, are they? There's no cheating going on, right?
There seems to be some confusion. Some people don't know what we're guessing. But
well, that sounds like they joined the show late. I mean, what are we can't recap the show in real time. It's like that's just an excuse to start watching the show from the beginning.
So I've been watching a lot of 80s clips lately. And what do you feel like Chris Elliott on Letterman in the 80s was pretty amazing. I watched it back then. I'm a couple of years older than you, Tim. So
yeah.
He just did some fantastic bits on that show.
Oh man.
There's so many people that I've seen steal from him over time. Like it's just
me
just from that.
Are you calling me out?
Yes.
No. No. You didn't come to mind.
Oh good.
You're an original. I mean you
who came to mind?
Geez. Well, Jimmy Kimmel, he used to do this sketch of famous moments in sports history or something like
Where's
that.
Where's my shots fired?
It'd be really boring and like you know, a women's soccer game and they just kick the ball shots out of bounds fired. And that's the highlight.
Uh-huh.
So he was doing that back in the 80s as Marv Albert.
Well, I know that Jimmy Kimmel is a huge Letterman fan and who isn't?
Most of them are, right? Yeah.
I watched the Chris Elliott stuff, which you can all find on YouTube, is terrific. He used to come out as Marlon Brando is a pretty funny thing he used to do. And you know what
he had Brando, lots of Brando.
He did Jay Leno, which was really funny. They put this big prosthetic chin on him. But my favorite, I think if you find this, Chris Elliott did Paul Schaefer.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And it was on Letterman, right? It was on Letterman.
Oh yeah. Oh, he would take the piss out of Schaefer all the time. Like,
and then Chris Elliott
used to call him Ringo.
So
he was
Chris
like,
Elliott,
can you tell Ringo to stop piping in every 5 minutes?
So Chris Elliott would dress up fully as Paul Schaefer, and then he'd just go, ha! He'd just do that. And he would then Dave that would work it where he would say something that was like serious or like talk about something, he'd go, ha! And be like, What's the matter, Paul? It's not funny. It's really good. It's right on the nose, like perfect impression. But yeah, all that Chris Elliott. I mean, Letterman's the best. You look back at that, especially that old stuff where you really felt that
he started getting crotchety later on. But,
yeah, and the show became like a primetime thing where you had to book all sorts of boring losers.
Correct. Yeah.
But, you know, in the old days, he was like really experimenting with the form and doing all kinds of weird stuff and... I did watch this clip when Rush died. He had Rush Limbaugh on, and you know, Letterman's like a classic old lefty type dude, and you could tell him he's just squirming, like, and you know, he wants to take some shots, but he's got to find the perfect spots to take the shots. So he just kind of lets Rush blabber on for a while, and you know, treats it more like a biographical interview than like a debate about politics. And he's blabbing on. And then at some point, Letterman, towards the end, just goes,
Do you ever wake up in the middle of the night and just think, I'm just a bunch of, I'm just a big blob of hot gas or something?
Shots fired.
And then the audience goes wild because they're just waiting for it, waiting for him to say something like that. And then Letterman laughs it off. Like, I'm just kidding. It's pretty good. And he passed away this morning too, David Letterman. Forgot to bring that. We wanted to start the show with that.
Weird and wild.
Natural causes. See
you, I like when Letterman...
He choked on his beard overnight. He fell asleep with his beard in his mouth. Oh, oh.
It was going in and it inhales, and it just kept going deeper and deeper.
I can't do it, Vic. I can't do the Three Stooges.
Did you see when he had Trump on and he like showed him his ties?
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
I've also been watching a lot of Moonlighting.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. We're going to move things along. You know what's funny about Moonlighting was when I was a kid,
it's really bizarre. You talk about things that you loved when, you know, and don't hold up so well.
Yeah, that would be one of them.
That is one of them. It's strange. Although very groundbreaking at its time, it's just really, it's so freaking 80s. Like the design, the
sense
fashion,
of humor.
The sense of humor, like everything is just so soaked with the 80s excess.
Well,
you know, everybody must have been doing coke and going crazy at the time. I mean, it was just...
The funny thing about that is I remember watching that show, and it was a big popular show, and everybody... Yeah. And Bruce Willis was a massive star because of that show. But then when they're like, Bruce Willis is going to be in this new movie, Die Hard, and it's going to be this action... I'm like, Bruce Willis? Fucking Bruce Willis, he's like a comedy guy. He's not
an office clown.
Yeah, he's no concept of him being like, same with Michael Keaton when they tapped him for Batman. It was like,
right.
Michael Keaton? What? What's wrong with Arnold Schwarzenegger or Sylvester Stallone or Chuck Norris? That's who you can choose from. Don't be bringing these comedy TV guys into my action adventure space. And that started it all for Bruce. Speaking of Bruce, Bruce Willis, I mean, Bruce Springsteen and
Springsteen
and Obama have a podcast now, which is competing now with us. You think there are people who are listening to, was going to listen to our show, but then have now moved their allegiance over to the Obama. It's like, I only have so many hours in the day, so I'm going to have to choose one. It's going to be Obama Springsteen over Office Hours.
I mean, and then that guy making pizza sandwiches with pickles.
Thank you, Kevin. I'm going to let you get back to enjoying the show instead of being my featured guest. My guest
is... It
makes
me feel shameful, and it makes me feel bad.
My guest is 44th President of the United States, Barack Obama. This guy's done everything. He's been president 2 times, and now he's coming on my podcast. Look, Bruce, couldn't help, couldn't say no. When you called and said, I want to be the first guest on your podcast, I said, sign me up. Folks, here's the thing. What was the thing I was saying this morning? Now, here's the deal.
Now, let me be clear.
Huh?
Let me be clear.
Now, let me be clear. Your music has defined a generation and is with the... Clarence Clemens and Max Weinberg. Well, thank you, Mr. President. I think you're one of the greats. I think I lost my Bruce impression. He's gone. I think it's great what you're doing. You're doing a podcast here, talking to your fans. And I think it's great. And I like to play basketball, and I've written memoirs. I'm proud of my drone strikes. I started the children internment camps for the immigrants, but perception from the liberal media class is that I was a progressive person, and I did a lot of performative gestures to the left during my administration, but nothing substantial.
Hello?
And my policies are directly responsible for the election of Donald Trump.
Yes.
That's something I'm proud of. I'm not proud of.
Sure.
That's something I'm not proud of.
Talk to this brother, will you?
We could have done a lot better.
Can still be saved.
We could have done a lot more in my 8 years.
It's not about you.
Nobody's happy with Obamacare. And what else? I don't know much about the subject. But
sorry,
that's what the people on the left have told me.
Yes, who's this?
My daughters are doing great. One just got a job.
I drank
right for television.
And tried drugs and
working in Hollywood.
Sounds like a great show.
All right. Well.
So wait, are they doing like they're co-hosting a show?
Is it going to be keep
for
happening?
Like a weekly?
I don't have Spotify, so I don't know. Good morning. I gave it up for ethical reasons, and everyone's abandoned me.
How much?
I can't tell you how many people, close friends of mine, continue to send me links. Check this out on Spotify. Hey, didn't you find out? I'm boycotting them because of the way they treat artists. But no, I'm the only one making a stand.
Ain't just me, by the way.
I'm the only one left.
How are you doing any better in the booty department?
How am I going to open an account at the black-owned bank if it charges me extra for checking and for the risk?
People were mad at me this weekend. I was hanging out with some friends, and they were saying, Barack Obama is the most handsome president. I said, I don't think so. And I showed them a picture of Grant. And these are women, mind you. And they were not turned on by Grant the way I was. They did not become moist looking at the picture of Ulysses S. Grant.
I agree with that.
All right, another Zoomer. Today is the day for Zoomies.
Yes,
and then, then we'll we can JP hang out for a sec.
Oh, okay.
But JP, he can hang out. Viron.
But it might help if you stop.
Viron from the planet Schlau.
6 months pregnant.
Viron.
Sorry, go ahead.
Viron James, please unmute.
Viron, come to me. Now look.
Hello.
Let me be clear.
What's up?
People, folks worked hard. That's it.
What's up?
Folks worked hard.
Viron,
they're not getting a fair shake.
Hello.
They have not gotten the fair shake. Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hello. How you doing? You doing all right?
What's up?
I'm good. How are you?
Why aren't you looking in the camera? You got a second?
Side mic.
There you go. Hi.
Hello.
Where are you calling from?
I love you.
Connecticut.
Connecticut.
Yeah,
home right of the home of Mia Farrow.
Yes, and the what's it called? Some train museum.
So. Oh, the train museum. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The National Train Museum.
Yeah. Right.
Most people know like the John Oliver waste treatment plant, but I promise you, my city is a little bit more culture.
Wait, who you got there? You got some pals there?
Nope, not right now.
Oh, I heard a secondary laughter voice. Is it?
It does sound like you're in a vehicle or something. Are you in the back of a van?
Hold on one moment. Let's see if I've got.
Oh, that's you?
Now, how can I help you? Because the great JP Hassan awaits.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like my mind's completely blank now.
Me too.
Chosen me.
You kind of have the you sort of have those glasses that John Sebastian from The Loving Spoonful was known for.
Oh, well, thank you.
How does that
you.
Feel?
Yeah.
Is that what you're going for?
Pretty good. Yeah, yeah.
Do you believe in magic?
I have, like, some cool glasses over here, too.
I bet you do. All right. Oh, those are cool.
Yeah.
Change the way you see the world. Move closer to the world, my friends. Take another look inside.
Thank you.
Well, I'm going to let you go because you seem to be either preoccupied or the camera situation is strange because you're...
Later.
Yeah.
But all good
it's
with
all
you?
Good. Yeah, I appreciate it.
I appreciate you.
Yes, we can.
Let's speak with JP Hassan. My tennis foe.
Hey.
And my partner, JP.
Hello, Pete.
JP, are you on camera? Oh, there you are. Hey, look at
there
you.
He is.
Wow.
Wow. You're in your cave.
I'm in my hole here, yeah.
That is awesome. That is cool. Tilt down the camera a little bit. A lot of headroom for you.
Too much
There you go.
Yeah, well, I can't see myself, so.
That's okay. You look terrific. Handsome guy. JP Hassan is a talented... musician,
nice
comedian,
boy.
Artist. You've also, if you've seen any Tim and Eric show the past eight, how many years? 10 years?
Almost 9 years.
9 years?
I'd
go 10. I'd say 10. Why not?
Well, I'd say
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. A decade. JP's been our tour manager, but also appears in a lot of the bits in various ways. He's also, can you give us your off stage voice that people would recognize?
My off stage voice?
Yeah.
Oh, what's his name?
Chad.
Chad from AEG.
Chad from, hey guys.
hey guys. Yeah. Because you would never say you're Chad from AEG. Eric would say that all the time.
Eric would say, yeah. Chad, what do you think of this ticket price hike that we're about to do?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, sounds great.
Let me fire that up for you.
Let me check my contract notes here. Yes.
Now, first of all, can I play a JP Inc. clip first? Or should I play Spa? Try to decide. What do you prefer? Just to give context.
Well, you had requested we had Crap Factory.
Yes.
We had that loaded up.
Well, let me show this audience, because JP also does this tremendous live act, where he is a character named JP Inc., who's launching all these various businesses. A little similar to our sponsors, you know, that kind of sensibility. And he shows these great, he makes these songs that go along with the videos. And this is one of my favorites. It's called Crap Factory. Take a look at Crap Factory.
Do you want it live? Do you want it loud? Well, your prayers have been answered with the arrival of Crap Factory. Hailing from the Hollywood Hills, Crap Factory are ready to unload a sick shot of rock onto the currently stale and unpredictable popular music scene. Their music has that contemporary edge and unpredictability that today's rock star youth is crying out for. Here's a little bit about the rockers of Crap Factory. Zach Brand is the front man that every band and every female fan wishes they had. Gideon Klumper. Everything involved with the band must meet his high expectations. Whether it be guitar sound, stage lighting, or drinks after the show, his chugging guitar riffs are a force of nature, putting the hard back in
fucking hard rock.
Fucking
Keith Bone.
I love Keith
Bone. Was once a student of the guitar. Now he is the master. His lead licks combine professional musicianship with
pro gear
showmanship.
Yeah, nobody wants to hear about your band's pro gear.
Watch out, ladies. This guy is very good with his fingers.
Brad Jazz.
Prodigy. Brad doesn't play the drums. He is just as comfortable keeping a standard beat as he is playing unbelievable drum fills that would make Tommy Lee shit his pants. The only thing he pounds harder than his kid are drinks and shit. From the reality of their everyday rock and roll lifestyle. Boozing, partying, and of course, girls. Crap Factory is more than just a band.
Suck.
It is the sound people
I
want
hate
to move
bone
to. It is the
anyone.
Individuals that girls want and guys want to be. It is the rock revolution of the new millennium. Crap Factory.
There you go. Let's hear it for Crap Factory. Why did they name their band Crap Factory, though? That's my only question. It seems like such a negative.
Yeah, that's been their only misplay so far.
Yeah. I love Keith Bone, but so you've been making all these. I mean, is that and that's you making all that music? Oh my god!
I like how that they're all his face too. They're all JP's.
Of course,
face.
Yeah, that was yeah.
I've seen that a million times because I've toured and done live stuff with you before, and it makes me cry every time.
Good.
So dumb.
Thank you. It's very dumb.
But then, so during this pandemic, you spent a lot of time on the road doing, tour managing bands and comedy. You've done Eric Andre, you've done a number of top acts, Crap Factory, Keith Bone solo tours. But so you've been obviously grounded now for over a year, and you decided to embark on a pet project, or a very unique project, which is a spa, an album for massage.
Yeah, this is the first break I've had in, I mean, about 4 years. So I finally had a chance to like to actually go forward with one of my dumb ideas. And I always thought that it would be funny for someone to bring their own music to a massage parlor.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to make something that was actually soothing and, you know, somewhat ambient, but while still being like a parody of it, you know? So
as you approached this, so it's an hour of massage. There's no jokes. It's like totally done straight, as like it sounds like any other.
I would love for it to get into the bloodstream of those spa videos that have, you know, like 13 million views.
Well, there's
whatever.
A financial aspect to this too, I imagine.
That's what I'm talking about, baby.
Was it harder than you thought it would be, or is it actually quite easy?
It was easier than I thought it was going to be. Because it was like, I've been drawing a lot too during like shutdown, lockdown, whatever.
Drawing what? Blood?
Like, drawing blood. Blood. And sometimes, you know, you like draw something with pencil and then ink or color ruins it.
Right.
So I did this thing that was an instrumental. I was happy with it and I didn't want to. It was like an exercise in restraint for me. I didn't want to add too many useless layers.
Well, let's hear just a small sample of it, because it's obviously something that works in a more macro context.
Too much, because it's like it's
not the energy of this show that we want. But I don't. Let's. Why don't we turn the lights off?
Wow.
How's this look?
You look great.
Music to masturbate to.
Well, or have someone masturbate you.
Hey, easy.
Yeah, JP, do you have a happy ending version?
Mix?
Mix?
How much would it cost to make that for us?
Yeah, I don't.
Hey, you
I
know what, Doug? You should do a remix of JP's spa album with beats and stuff in it.
Oh yeah, massage and spa after dark.
What do you
Let's
think?
Let's do it.
Get this over to Lisa Belladonna. Have her add some tracks, some
flourish,
some stems. Oh shit, I'm getting into a zone here.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
Go ahead, boys. Go hog wild.
I want to see this live in concert.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, you're going to tour this album? This, yeah.
You got to bring your own massage, your own masseuse, and your own table.
I thought either I could give someone a massage on stage, but I'd like to maybe stay away from doing that. But I'd like to have someone getting a massage on stage while I perform the music next to them.
That would be hilarious.
Maybe you should get the massage.
Yeah.
Huh?
While playing the synthesizer.
Yeah.
No, I think I like just as an actor that comes out, like just an actor who's there to be massaged, and it's totally not it's just a fully committed thing. I better turn the lights on.
Yeah.
Could you turn the lights on?
Yeah, and then I'm playing live next to them.
Vic's massage painted direction from top to bottom.
It is not. What does it look like? Am I lit at all?
Each muscle.
Or is it fully black?
Only Doug. Doug looks cool.
Doug's how did that work?
Massage painted direction
from top to bottom.
This All right, my love.
Is legitimate.
Nice to see you.
Congratulations. How do people find this singular piece of work here?
They can go to my website, jpinc.tv, or it's on YouTube, Massage and Spa, a 60-minute relaxation system presented by JP.
Massages.
Okay, I'm going to ask every listener to tune into that, and let's see your... Let's see those hits go up.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Put it on in the background.
Put it on in the background. Go to sleep with it. Loop it.
You know what? Did I ever tell you this? I mean, you might know this. Greg and I, a.k.a. Neil Hamburger, were on tour in the, we're doing some little weekend run in this, I think it was in the South and somewhere in the South. And we were, he always has like a house music, like the music that plays as people are coming in. And we were just, of course, being silly one day and said, you know what we should do is do find like spa music. So when people are coming in, people are coming into the show, there's that basically that music blasting in this space.
Not what you want.
So we found some like, you know, Thai massage playlist, kind of with an Asian influence. And then we put that on. But then we found this song by Paul Simon called Cars Are Cars from his album Hearts and Bones, the album right before Graceland. It's one of the most annoying, repetitive, dumb songs. You can't believe it. It's just Paul Simon going, cars are cars all over the world. Cars are cars all over the world. So we'd have like 20 minutes of spa music and then Cars Are Cars come in, and then another 20 minutes of spa music, and then Cars Are Cars would play again.
Is that it?
What? Yeah. Well, I don't want to play it because we're going to
get pitching it a little bit, but.
Cars Are Cars. It's like, Paul, we need one more song for this album. We're short
we
one.
We have 10 minutes.
All right. Let me think. Well, birds are birds. No. Cars are cars. There you go. Can't argue with that.
Speaking of tour music that we get, you know, hooked on when we're on the road, I went down the Addicted to Black hole the other day.
We also added Addicted to Black to an On Cinema tour, or I don't know what?
It was a Tim and Eric tour. We were in Australia, I think.
Oh, and we just, right.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. I'll see you later.
See you guys. Bye,
thanks,
Doug.
JP.
Bye, JP. Matt. See you on the court.
All right.
Thanks, JP.
Who's up next? Come on, it's about the Zoomers today. Come.
Kelsey Manahan, Phelan, and friend.
Kelsey Manahan, what is Feature Man's secret ingredient?
Oh, gosh. I think I'm wondering if it might be some sort of fruit.
Mm.
Is it grapes?
I'm sorry?
Is it grapes?
Is it grapes? No.
That's bullshit.
Please. But.
Next time.
Yeah.
Stick a
butt. But.
I mean,
never mind.
I don't want to.
I mean, is it?
No. It's well, no.
Wait, what?
No.
Is it or not?
Is it raisins?
Yes, it is raisins.
Oh, God.
Did you cheat?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Yes, I am sure.
Look me right in the eye, you son of a bitch. Take those glasses off, you right asshole. Huh?
I can't see shit.
You just guessed that.
Yeah, well.
Out of all the fucking foods in the world.
She said grapes, and then one of you guys was like, well, that's close. So we were like,
yeah, you
kind of
delayed
it. Fair enough.
Blew it.
So, yeah,
wait, well, what do grapes have to do with raisins?
Good point, Yana.
Yeah.
It's I guess it technically is a grape.
Well, let's show the completion of the, let's see how right you really were. Here it is.
I'm going to just sprinkle a few small raisins here and there. Not today.
No thanks.
Detract from the great bacon and pickle flavorings that will be there. And this, by the way, is going to go into the microwave.
Of course it is.
Bacon in there.
The already microwaved bacon is going back in the microwave.
Like so, that's good.
All right, that's it. Bread. Raisins, congratulations. I thought that was going to be a lot harder. Congratulations, Kelly. You win.
I would love to see somebody make this and eat it on the air.
There you go.
And like,
is that our prize?
No, the prize is, of course, you know what the prize is. It is a $500,000 gift certificate to Three Stooges Coffee.
Not bad.
Do you drink
it.
Coffee?
Oh, yes.
Well, find Curly G up on the internet there and say that you are owed $500,000 worth of coffee from him. He's not returned our calls. By the way, I don't know, we don't want to reveal too much, but Three Stooges Coffee is about to have a little competition out there in the marketplace, FYI. I don't want to get too in the weeds on the details there, but all right. Congratulations, Kelsey. That concludes our big game today. Damn. Are you guys impressed and surprised?
I liked it that
shit. Fast. That was a fast crack.
Now, I could have been a real jerk and just said no on grapes and moved on, and nobody would have picked up whether or not that was close, but I'm not a jerk. I'm a good person. Thank you, guys. Who else is
anyone catching your eye? What do you see?
There's a lot of hands waved up.
I know. Everyone's very interested. This guy with a saxophone?
Yes, of course. Bring me a reed instrument.
Tim Meyer. Let's see that sax.
Tim Meyer's from Tim Meyer Superfoods.
Give it a blast.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
So, I have a... let him get it out.
Yep, Tim knows. Tim knows. Just let them get it
Smug
out.
Smug Doug. I call him Smug Doug in my household.
Oh, I wasn't even doing that.
Well, I call you that anyway.
Very rude.
I call you that whether or not you're doing anything. I got a bit for you.
You got a bit for me?
Yeah, I got a bit.
No, thanks.
I can actually play any song you like. You can play any song you like on command. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. How about this? How about Barracuda by Heart?
That was on Guitar Hero, so that's a little familiar. If you just give me 1 second, I'll go ahead and look that up.
Why do you need to look it up? I thought you said you could play it.
I just want to get it, remember it again, and you know, maybe look up the fingering charts. Let's see, it's in what key is it in? This is a so this is an E flat instrument. So if I probably have to transpose, no, can't play Barracuda. Second song, do you have a second song? Cannot play Barracuda.
How about Day Tripper from the Beatles?
Day Tripper from by the Who? Can you guys hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, Day Tripper. So if I just look that up, give me 1 second here.
This is like a Tim Heidecker bit. Well, not exactly a Tim Meyer bit, more like a Tim Heidecker bit.
Okay, so a person who goes on a journey or excursion, especially for pleasure, that is completed.
The song day. Day Tripper.
So if I just go to the, give me. Sorry, I want to be able to hear the...
All right, thank you, Tim. We get it. It's very funny. Very funny. Good stuff. Congratulations to you. You've made a lot of friends today on the Zoom community. The Zoom-unity. Who else do we have here?
All right.
Jason Page?
Jason, unmute, please.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Hey. Ah.
Oh.
Hey, I was.
Who are you, Wes Anderson? Look at you, Wes Anderson, like a kind of looking guy.
Yeah.
I wish. I wish I was. No, not really. Actually, I think he's a bit of a creep. I never met him. But.
Okay.
I wanted to tell you.
I thought he was cool, man.
I referenced your Dog of the Month commercial. In my I teach like an illustration class on Zoom.
Nice.
I started recently, and one of the students was like a little bit traumatized because they just had to put her dog to sleep the week before over Zoom.
Mm.
Oh God, that's a fun story.
That's
now you've traumatized me.
Jesus.
Yeah. Well.
I'm Wait, traumatized.
How does that work, though? I mean, so, not to get to go too far in there. the doctor is with the dog on one end of Zoom, and then the owner is on
head on camera.
Oh, Jesus!
Why? You don't need to do. Just let it. Why do you have to be witness to that? I mean,
I don't know.
Whatever, if you want to. But when my dog died a couple years ago, my wife took it to the vet to.
You didn't go.
No, I just had a fucking baby at home. We had kids at home. She was just going to take the dog to the vet because it was like, Pete was like not getting up. He was, he was not unconscious. He was just like not well. And so that they admitted the dog and then called and my wife came home and then the doctor called and said, the dog is not doing well. And do you want me to, it kind of talked us through what was going to happen and said, yes, we give you permission. And that was that. Yeah? I mean, what are we going to do? Go in there and hold its paw while it goes to the other side? Come on, man. Stop being so precious about everything.
I held my dog, Sadie.
Good. I mean, good for you. And... But if there was a situation where you couldn't, you had to go Zoom, are you going to do the Zoom? Come on, man.
She took it pretty well. Like, it was the first class that I was giving in the day, so I didn't think to, like, give a trigger warning. But then she wrote, like, in the comments afterwards, like, well, I'm feeling a little bit triggered, but it was also very funny, and I understand why you showed it, so... It was all good in the end.
As long as it's all good in the end.
We also have a lot of dogs, and they're great dogs.
What can you do?
We cherish them.
I pitched this idea to this guy who was like at a big movie studio once, and it involved this dog dying in the story. Oh, yeah. And he was like, "Nope, can't do it. Sorry, pal. Can't have a dog die in a movie. It's just one of the big rules in Hollywood."
You do love your dogs, don't you?
Can't kill a dog. It's like the opposite of that Save the Cat book. But it's okay.
Sorry, Jason. I thought we were...
Thanks, Jason, for that depressing story.
Anyone have any nice stories?
We had a wonderful fan of the show also express a little discontent about that particular bit. But you have to understand, you know, we're coming from a good place. It's just not, you know.
I don't think that would be my icebreaker with new people, though.
Maybe not the smartest move on your part. Keep things uncontroversial for your drawing class over Zoom.
That's what I would draw.
How about we're going to draw the a forest scene. No animals involved.
Oh, my dog died in the forest.
Oh.
You never know, Tim.
Okay, who's next?
Kiki and Drop Dead, speaking of death. They look like a fun couple. Can you unmute?
Okay.
Sup, dude.
What's up?
Hi.
Sup, dude. What are you wearing, Vic Berger's hat now?
Yeah, we shop.
What are you, Tim Robinson?
I was just
That's a cooler
say.
Hat than mine, though.
Or yeah, like a jellyfish Vic hat. Knows how to dress like a comedian.
See, there we go.
Oh,
wow.
Oh.
So my wife.
Where are you calling from?
Portland, Oregon.
Hell yeah. That's where the cool kids are.
Sigh.
Sigh.
Pretty cool.
So what can I do for you today?
Can you talk about the overhead projector, where that came from? And it's cool Plesiosaur was on, because he had some overhead projector stuff.
Where the
was
overhead...
Was that just like an in-joke between you and Eric, and you just brought it to the stage? Like, did you use it for brainstorming? And just like, hey, let's dress up in tuxedos on stage and do this.
That was like the first tour. That was like...
Yeah, I was there.
Really old.
Really?
Back in Manhattan.
Like we did that on a tour.
Yeah,
you and Eric did it.
Well, we used to do it in New York before we had a TV show or anything. We did it at the Knitting Factory. Matt probably helped book that show.
I was there
at the Knitting Factory.
Yeah, I was like 19.
I was gonna say you seem like a young buck.
Your dad was there too.
We'll see you tonight at the Stress Factory.
How old are you?
He's like from outer space. He's got no.
Were you at the?
He must have been at the small acts shows, right? Is that? Or maybe an opening.
Were you at the signing of the Declaration of Independence?
No. I did hear about that. Was wait. I don't know. George
Washington. Were you at
you
the
mean like 1776?
Were you at the assassination of Abraham Lincoln at Ford's Theater?
No, but I saw the chair in a museum. That was gross.
Were you on the moon chair. when Armstrong landed and he comes off the thing and you go to him? It was about time.
Yeah, he pops out of the crater.
What took you so long? By the way, I was watching this thing about the. I don't know where that idea. I mean, we were just looking for things to do live that would translate to the live instead of just showing videos. We didn't really have like a live routine necessarily where we could. Which later we developed, but at the time I think we're just like, how can we do something that's kind of live, but also kind of relies on audio visuals and.
So a puppet show.
Basically, kind of like a puppet show, yeah.
Shadow puppets.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
Get this though. Well, it's been a lot of fun having you on the show.
I'm a big fan, Tim.
Thank you.
So nice to talk to you now.
It's a pleasure. What's your name?
Michael.
Michael.
What's up with that hat? What's on there? Is there an octopus hanging around the edge?
What are you, Michael from Knight Rider? Right?
What is that?
No, Cargo's
Michael.
Oh, no, Ranger.
I'm not.
Oh, yeah. What's a tentacle about? What is it?
Archie McPhee is like one of those novelty company.
Yeah, they got those like tiny hands and like, you know.
Oh.
Yeah. My wife Keith got this for me for Halloween.
Oh, yeah. You like.
What do you give gifts for Halloween now?
We do in this family.
That's smart.
Instead of a tree, what do you have?
Oh, jack-o'-lantern. We throw it into the ocean.
Yeah, we carved a jack-o'-lantern and threw it in the ocean on Christmas Day. So,
tell you what, we got to get Tim Robinson on the show and then have you call in and have you look as much like him as possible and have you guys go at it.
I'll be back.
Sounds like fun.
Oh, it does sound like fun.
He looks like the guy from Barry. You know that show Barry, the Czech
Sheen? Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to talk about this for real quick, though. I was watching this video about the Mars rover that everybody should. Let's hear it for the Mars rover. Applause from everybody. This is exciting stuff, and no one cares.
Okay.
It's unbelievable what they did.
Why are they there?
They're there to find out. Well, they're there to find out if there's life, the signs of life that lived there before. Okay.
Who cares? Clean up this place.
Who cares? I get that argument. We should be making our home on Earth a better place, and that's where. But science is about trying to understand as much of our universe as possible.
And we find out about these other planets, then our planet goes to the crapper.
Well, maybe we need to start working on those other planets so we can get the hell out of this off of this rock and head there.
I gotta go right.
Champ,
now.
Jack,
start polluting that crap hole.
But listen how cool this is, Doug. You got to be a little into this scene.
Okay.
Are you really anti-Mars now?
No, it's cool. I'm just saying.
So they
trying to create a conversation here.
I hear you. They launch this fucking thing up there, and it's a car, but it's a rover, you know. It lands, beautifully lands, and it starts taking pictures and everything. Starts sending the pictures back.
Was that the Tesla he sent out?
No.
Oh
yeah, whatever happened to that Tesla? He
is
sent
just
that Tesla out into
in space forever?
Just
is
floating
just
around.
Tesla flying around?
It's going to crash into Jupiter. So one of the things that this rover is going to do is it's going to drill little holes down into the ground and like take little soil samples, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it takes this little soil sample, and then it has some instruments on board that it can analyze and send data back to Earth. But the real thing it's going to do, it's going to basically poop out these little sample, like, you know, test tube kind of things, little
cores,
okay. But in like a container, and drop it on the ground, okay, and then move along.
Okay.
Now, what are you going to do with that? The next one that's going to go, the next rover that's going out in a couple years or whenever, that thing is going to have a system to pick up those core samples, pick them up, okay, put them on a rocket that is going to shoot back off of Mars and connect with another ship and come back down to Earth and then deliver us the samples.
Then they'll be like, oh, wow, we got this little piece of red dirt. Neat. All right. That costed $17 trillion.
Can you imagine the technology, though, of picking this thing up, putting it in something else, and then flying back to Earth?
No health care, but we got a little piece of dirt from another place. Cool.
I'm into it, man. Get me into that
unbelievable
scene.
Unbelievable.
I think it's inspiring. It should inspire us to make life better here.
Just go to Utah.
Go to YouTube. So what do you think it'll mean for mankind if they say, listen, here's microbial, fossils from the Martian? What does that say about? I mean, how do you speak to your parishioners the next day? What do you say to them?
What if some microbes
Father
from Mars
Loosen
come
Hop?
Over, Tim? They open up the microbes, and then that's like the ultimate coronavirus. And then the real pandemic
Good.
Starts.
Wipe us out.
Wipe them out.
I think it's cool. Sorry, I'm such a cool guy who likes optimistic things. Sorry, I'm such a cool guy.
Sorry, Tim, for trying to like have a devil's advocate point of view.
I hear you. Well, let's talk about healthcare. Pierce.
Pounding.
Hi, Pierce.
Can you unmute?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Doug's the kind of guy that probably thinks Woody Allen is a pedophile.
I have yet to watch the documentary.
I'm just kidding.
Can't wait to watch the doc.
Oh, it's such a good time. It's such a good time.
Should I just skip the doc?
Yeah,
just...
like I'm watching it. It's just like, what am I doing? Am I who? Everybody in this situation seems fucked up, and it's like I don't know. What does this have to do with me and my life and my problems? Nothing. It's all just porn for people. It's like, it's just a Schadenfreude or whatever. It's just like all these murder documentaries, and it's like, what are we doing to ourselves? It seems like it's madness. We're obsessed with other people's suffering. It's such a, is it a relief for us to just bask in other people's misfortunes and trauma? What are we getting out of these experiences? Are we growing and learning from them? Why are they entertaining? They're not entertaining to me.
Yes.
I watch Feature Man to see what he's going to do with a can of soup. How is he going to spice up this can of soup? Add some strawberries to a can of chunky tomato soup.
That's a lot of burgers.
What do you have for me, Pierce?
Well, let me tell you, I didn't think it'd be raisins. That sounds kind of gross.
Well, Vic made a point this morning that he had pizza last night with figs on it.
Figs.
I've
had that. So? Like goat cheese, maybe?
No, yeah. I don't like goat cheese, but it was just like, you know, classic mozzarella with the figs and a little ham.
That sounds delicious. Well, I've got questions for all three of you. I'll try to make it quick.
All right.
I'll start with Vic. Vic, you're the man. Love your videos. Cry with laughter every time I see the Steve Harvey spoofs. Those are amazing.
Let him talk, guys. What does that be in the background?
It's okay.
I don't know.
Is that
Vic,
you?
Did you watch? There was like a live stream that Elon did for like some technology that he's coming out with called Neuralink.
Yeah.
Did you see this?
No, I didn't see that.
Okay. Well, it was like a live presentation where he, I think it was, there were three pigs that he would like take a section of your skull out and put this thing that connects to your brain and it can like monitor something that's going on in your brain. And I saw it and it was such a wreck. And I thought that you could make a hilarious video out of that.
All right. I will check it out.
What do you mean it was a wreck?
Like it was just a disaster.
It was a wreck. The one pig that he put the Neuralink in, they like couldn't get it out of his cage for like 10 minutes. And they were all waiting on this one test pig. And really all it did was monitor like serotonin or something when it was eating. No. But
does it like veer on the line of like animal abuse? If I mess with that?
Well, the thing is, he said, well, he's trying to bring it to like human use. And he was kind of saying, he was like, I might have it in my head right now. I might have it right now. He's like saying that it could in the future, like cure like paralysis and stuff like that, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Like it sounds interesting, but it was like pretty scary and weird. And you should just check it out.
All right, Pierce, what do you have for Doug?
Doug, I'm kind of in between a couple questions. This one might not appeal to most of the viewers, I guess.
Okay, go with that one.
Oh, man. All right, so your friend Andrew has a podcast, Andrew Michon.
Correct.
Do you guys ever plan to have him as a guest? I don't know. I really like that podcast, and I think it'd be interesting to maybe have him on and talk about their podcast or like your guys' friendship. I always thought it was interesting because I started watching their podcast and of course I'd seen Pound House and then I was rewatching Pound House and I saw him in the skateboarding skit. And I just thought it was interesting.
It is something we've discussed. It is something we are discussing. And I mean, to what degree people want to hear people talking about their various podcasts? That's a question that we're mulling right now. To be frank,
he's been on the Poundcast several times. I mean,
and if you want to experience that's available now at poundcast.biz.
Last question for Tim.
Yes.
So I'm sure you know of, I'm assuming you know of John Mouse.
John Mouse.
Mouse's music.
He's the one who was busted with Ariel Pink. Right.
Yeah, I don't know his music.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. I thought maybe you would because I saw...
More into Joe Rat. I'm more into the music of Rat. But you ever see that clip of Dylan where he's outside in Canada talking to these kids in like 86 or something? And he's like, what kind of music you like, man? And the kids are like, oh, we like Ozzy. We like Ozzy. He's like, oh, yeah, yeah. What do you think of Rat? What do you think of Rat, man? And then this big wrestler comes by. This guy named Grizzly Bear or whatever. He's a big old fucking guy. Big beard. Hey, Bobby, how you doing, man? And Bob like,
knows him some.
He's like, oh, man, Grizzly, man. Wow. And then everyone wants to take pictures with Bob. And Bob's like, I don't know, this is a weird, he's in a weird pocket where he's just like into talking to fans. He's just standing around. He's actually wearing a shirt like this. And he's standing around listening to people. And then this jerk comes up. And he's like, hey, man, can I get my picture with you, Bob? Guy's like, yeah, yeah, man, sure. And Bob stands there. And the guy's trying, and it's like this old camera he doesn't know how to work, and it's like, takes forever to get this camera to work. And the guy goes to Bob, he's like, Bob, turn your head so we can see your nose. And Bob just goes,
why does he want to see his nose? Like, just like the profile? Like,
and then, that's the greatest video. The guy goes, he keeps going, and they can't get this camera to work. I wish I had my sunglasses down here, because Bob's wearing sunglasses the whole time. And... I don't know whose these are. Bob's just there, like, you know, he's a little fidgety. And Bob's like, the guy's like, turn your head, Bob. And Bob just freezes him out. And the guy's like trying to tell the other guy how to work the camera, and you've got to squeeze it. And it's taking forever. You can see Bob is just starting to lose it. And the guy goes, squeeze it like you're squeezing a pimple. And and you see Bob just go like ever so slightly, just be like, the fuck? Like, this is hilarious. And then, of course, these two girls are there who's like these blonde rock and roll looking girls, kind of groupie looking girls. And Bob can't get enough of them. He's getting around them. He's getting his picture.
Like, take one for me.
Get me a copy of that one. Sure, Bob. We'll get you a copy of this photo of you with these two girls from Canada, from Ontario, Canada.
What's your John Mouse question, though?
Yeah, what is your John Mouse question?
Okay, so I've seen him live a couple times, and he's one of my favorite performers. He, like, goes on stage and gets really sweaty and, like, like hits himself sometimes, just runs around, goes crazy. And so I saw him live, and then I was watching Awesome Show, and Casey Tatum and his brother came on, and just the way you move while you're singing and like you're sweating and throwing up and shit, I thought maybe you had drawn some inspiration from John Mouse. But
sounds like he drew some inspiration from me.
Right.
Unless this kid was doing it 20 years
possibly.
Ago.
You should just look up a video of him performing live. It's nuts. I think you'd get a kick out of it.
Matt, should I do that? Or am I gonna hate it?
I don't know. I've never checked it out, really.
I'll take your advice, Pierce. You seem like a good guy.
You might not like the music, but I think you'll find it entertaining.
Unless it's ba 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 baran ba 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 baran. That's the kind of music I like.
I thought that was Vixen.
All right, well, thanks, guys.
Thank you. Did you guys hear this? I'm going to ask the Zoomers, because I could see about 20 of you right now, something like that. How many people have heard the George Harrison, Phil Collins story? One? Okay, couple. So I'm going to talk. Today's George Harrison's birthday, so I thought it would be appropriate to tell the story I heard. You guys probably heard this story. We shared it on our chat. But Phil Collins... apparently, he had played bongos or what's the other thing that's bigger than the bongos?
Congas.
Oh, here we go with the Phil Collins drops. Get them out.
That's all.
By the way, there was this awesome video of Phil Collins from a fairly recent tour. Feels like it was in the past few years. I don't know if he's been on the road or whatnot. Have you seen this where he comes out in the stage, he walks this huge around this huge stage, and it takes forever because he's doing I Can Feel It Coming in the Air Tonight, you know? And
he's got to get his steps in, Tim. He's got the Fitbit
it's like
going.
He's
got
to walk like a quarter of a mile or a half a mile to get to, and he lands perfectly for the right at the drum set. But it's really crazy. He's got to kind of pace himself to get right where he's sitting down right as that thing starts. I don't know how you find that. Running around, singing out all night. Oh, I used to hate Phil Collins. Did you guys used to hate Phil Collins? Like, he was the...
No, I loved him as
he was
kid.
The epitome of, like, lame music when I was growing up.
Oh.
Don't you think? No?
I thought it was kind of cool.
I liked that.
No.
Yeah.
It was so lame.
That
My dad hated it, and therefore I hated it.
My dad loved it.
Oh. See, this is why Vic's dad and Tim's dad sitcom has to happen. Those two guys living together, the odd couple.
My dad had like five tapes. One was Phil Collins, you know, But Seriously, Gloria Estefan, and Chicago. And then he got really into Rick Astley for some reason.
Oh, my God.
And we just like, that would be on loop in the car.
We got to get your dad back on the show to talk about his
music.
Musical. Like,
yeah.
My dad and your dad talking about music. My dad's into Zeppelin, Floyd. You know what I mean? Stones.
Oh, yeah. My dad doesn't get that at all.
I don't feel like Doug's dad's listening to a lot of music in general.
My dad got me big into Weird Al.
He likes just sort of jazz and...
What? Really? Like big band stuff?
Roger
like
Miller.
Sinatra?
Well, Roger Miller.
Well, growing up, he had like two records. It was Roger Miller and... Who's that fiddle player who made the deal with the devil?
Oh, Devil Went Down to George, Charlie Daniels.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
We definitely talked about this on the show. I feel like we had to have talked about Doug's dad's love of Charlie Daniels.
Well, I mean, that's just the record that was laying around. I mean,
your dad's like, go down to the record store and get me any record that's there. I'll get me a couple of records there. I don't care which one they are. Just so we have a few records going on.
He's not a fisherman from Minnesota or something.
Hey, Dad, what kind of music do you
want?
I don't care. Just get a few records. So we have some music. If anyone wants to listen to music, we can play it. I don't care what kind of music. So long as it's not that heavy metal or blues music. I don't know. I'm not... No disrespect. Gary.
Get him on the show. Talk about
Alex Russell, you and your wife or girlfriend or roommate or sister, whoever she is, has caught me attention. Alex? Speak.
Hello.
Who does that? Speak. What's that from?
What's up? What's going on, guys?
Oh, nice hat.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. It just came in the mail yesterday.
There you go.
It's a nice fit.
By the way, we've had reports that there is lice in the hats. So
what in the hat?
Lice. There's been people are saying there's lice
in
the hats.
Freeze.
Oh!
Can I get a refund?
No, unfortunately, there's any bugs or vermin that appear in the merchandise are part of the deal.
Is it sort of like the Beatles and the beard? From your birthday episode?
Yes. The Beatles and the Beatles.
Similar to that. Yeah. Great job on that show, Doug, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Oh, that's nice.
Doug, you're great. Vic, what's up?
Hey.
What about me? How about me? You got to have warm feelings for me.
I'm a Tim head through and through, so.
What's that?
I'm a Tim head through
and
through.
Oh, thank you. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Providence, Rhode Island. Home of David Byrne and the Talking Heads.
Not an island.
Not an island. Vic, you really screwed that up a couple episodes
back. I did blow it.
Providence, you should change it to Providence, not an island.
There's an island there, though, right?
There's a couple offshoots.
Yeah.
Providence, you know? Road, not an island. Anyways.
Not a road, not an island. So I actually had a little, you know, Sopranos impression request for you, Tim.
Okay.
No spoilers, because I know a lot of the people in the Zoomers are saying no spoilers, so... But I had this idea, like, you know, one of those hip coffee shops moves in next to Satriale's pork store. And, you know, Paulie Walnuts is sitting outside. He says, I'm going to go, you know, give it a try. And he goes in to order his latte or something. And the barista gives him an option for, you know, your dairy and your coffee. Oh, you know, oat milk, almond milk, right. And just like I want like Paulie's reaction to that, you know, like what's, what the hell's going on here? Yeah, maybe Doug can play
milk from a cow. What do I gotta go back there and squeeze it myself?
Hey, Tom.
Yeah. Oh, I got two almonds right between my legs. Sir, what kind of milk would you like? What kind of milk do I want? What do you? I want to fucking in the coffee. I want to in the fucking coffee. Milk. Capiche?
You're going to have like fucking Casey
Kasem. Oat milk. Oh. Oh. Get the fuck out of here.
Oh.
Oh. I already have my oatmeal. My mom made it for me. Oats. How are you going to get oat from? Hey, T. He goes, hey, T. Trying to figure out how you're gonna get milk out of oats. What are them little cows in there? What are them little cows in them oats? No, Paulie. How do they get the fucking? How do they get the milk out of oats anyway? I think that's a scam. I think there's somebody at that oat factory being like, "Just fucking pour milk in here in these cartons."
Okay. They pour milk over oats. It's just milk with.
They filter it through the oats.
Filter oat filtered milk.
Oh. Yeah. Hey, T. T, I went next door. Hey, this would be. Hey, T, I went next door. They asked me what kind of milk I wanted. I said, your mother tit. I said, why don't you squeeze it from your mother's tit? You hear me, Coat? You hear me, T? You hear that?
That's so good.
What do you know? What do you say? What do you know? What do you say? Hey, sweetheart, give me one of them lattes, tall. All right, sir, what kind of milk do you want in there? From your mother's tit. I'll make it snappy. Now, hurry up. There you go, kid. Oh, we don't take cash here. Oh! I don't have a credit card. Too many responsibilities.
Yeah, I can see that.
Okay?
Perfect.
They need a fixed address for a credit card. Sweetheart, I only work in cash. Capisce?
Junior just turned 90.
What?
Junior just turned 90.
Oh, the actor?
Yeah.
Okay. These guys are getting up there. I'm going to start using them.
I think he's on, like, Law & Order SVU or something. I'm not kidding.
But he was, like, the oldest guy in the show back then. Yeah. That's
he's
cool.
Still he's still on TV.
I watched this really sick clip from the 80s. It was, like, the that show Family Feud.
Yeah.
With Richard Dawson. And it was the two families. One, they were, like, reunited casts from television. Classic television. One was Batman, like with Adam West and the rest of them. Vincent Price. Was Vincent Price on the Batman show, Vic?
Yeah, he was villain. Egghead.
Was Egghead?
Yeah.
Okay, what a weird choice. Hey, yeah. Vince, we got an offer for you for the new Batman show. Oh, good. Am I going to play the Joker or the Riddler? No, those have been cast already. There's a guy named the Egghead. Oh, no. I'll have to do it for scale. Oh no. Egghead? But you'll be working with the great Adam West. Oh, dear. But then the other family was the Gilligan's Island crap crew.
Oh.
it was Skipper and then the Howells and Professor and Marianne on the Family Feud. And but what was sick about it was two sick things about it. One is that Mr. Howell, what's that actor's name? The guy that did Mr. Magoo.
Tim, was Vincent on The Price is Right? What is it?
Leslie Nielsen? No, not Leslie Nielsen. Some crank here said, no, Jim Backus.
Jim Backus.
Oh, honey, oh, lovey. Yeah. So, but he's so goddamn old, they've got him sitting. Everyone else is standing. He's like sitting on a stool. And he looks out of it. He looks like... Somebody just knocked him in the back of the... He's like...
He's looking up to give out his word suggestion. He's looking up at his teammates.
Gadzooks. But then the other sick is that freak Richard Dawson's just... He's such a creep. He's in that tuxedo and he's just... He looks like he's wasted. And he goes up to Marianne. Does he goes and says hi to all the cast. And then he makes a couple jokes... to the skipper. And then he gets to the professor and he literally goes... He says, hey, how you doing there? And he doesn't give a shit about the professor.
Is that the guy that kisses everybody?
Then he goes to Marianne and starts kissing her right on the mouth. It's so sick. And she's trying. She's playing along. She seems to be into it. She's like,
he was always giving lip kisses. It was,
I know, but to,
oh, look at you. I love you so much.
Yuck. It's like that was a part of the show that people tuned in for. Who's Boston gonna tongue today?
He's gonna kiss. He did.
Oh, I love
down.
You so much. Oh, yeah, right. You're the girl next door. Marianne raised on a farm.
You might be able to harvest some lick lips out of that. Uh-huh.
Yeah, totally. You have to tap into that Dawson stuff. People are gonna be shocked.
Shocking.
One more thing I just wanted to say. I saw you at the Wilbur Theater in Boston.
Hell yeah.
On Cinema Live. And oh, yeah. I've never laughed so hard in my life. My belly hurt for a couple days. So.
Oh, good. Well, thank you so much.
Big fan. Thanks for having us on the show.
Thank you. Talk to you later. Bye. Have a great weekend.
Thanks. You too.
All right. Let's work through a few more friends of the show. Who really deserves it, Matt?
Who really deserves it? That's Chico.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I was just looking at Julie Beth.
Oh yeah.
Julie Christie.
The rumors are true. Julie Beth, are you there?
Hey.
Hello, baby.
Hello. Look at you. You look funky and fun and artistic and all sorts of stuff behind you and paintings and guitars.
Yeah, I used to work in a punk bar for years and years, and so I have lots of posters from shows.
That's nice. Do you have a bunch of tattoos?
I just have one tattoo.
Hmm. What are you working on now? You sewing something?
I'm doing these earrings. Kind of hard to see. I made these ones.
Oh, those are cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
Creativity.
I'm going to try to sell them because I lost my job at the bar because of COVID, so I'm trying to,
You're getting on Etsy?
Yeah, I guess so.
You don't seem very... doesn't seem like you have the strongest plan.
I saw a video of it.
But we can
watch
it.
Well, you know. I'm going to try.
On YouTube.
Somebody's still unmuted. You got those Sally Jessica Raphael... What's her name? Sally Jesse Raphael
Easton
glasses.
PA's own.
Thanks.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks. She loves hearing that.
Where are you now?
I'm in Montreal.
Oh, what a beautiful city. You speak French?
Pretty badly. I grew up speaking English, and I just started really learning French as an adult. And so pretty much every day I have a conversation that's completely humiliating.
Well, that must have been challenging working at a bar. If everyone's coming in there speaking that French.
Well, also, you couldn't hear anything anyway because it was band playing. So it was, it was always painful and embarrassing for me. But I managed.
Well,
but sometimes I'd be speaking French to somebody and they would ask me if I spoke French, in the middle of the conversation where I was speaking French to them. So...
All right.
So something weird happened to me this week. I thought it was kind of funny. I have I'm on Twitter and I have a three-letter username because I signed up really early.
Wow, that's got to be rare. What's the three letters? WTF?
No. I'm not going to give it up. Oh. But people message me sometimes and ask for it because they want it for whatever reason. And they always say how much could I give you for that username? And I'm like, I don't know. It really has no value to me. I don't have any attachment to it, but it's just people that want it because it resembles their name or whatever. But a guy messaged me this week and asked for it and said that he wants it for his app that he's developing. And, he was like, how much do you want for it? And I said, I have no idea how to put a number to that because I really don't care. But I also can't be bothered to give it away. And so he messaged me back today and said that he was offering 10 to 15,000.
Wow.
Jeez, do it.
Yeah, stand by. Totally. Wait a minute. Now we're just beginning the negotiations.
Well,
now.
That's just it. I'm not a business person. So how do I negotiate this guy?
Well.
You go double it. Say 30,000 is yours.
I will.
What would Rockstars do?
Hardball.
I'll tell you what to do. First of all, you have to maintain a consistency with your position here. You can't just act like you were playing him a little bit. You got to go.
Right.
I don't know. I don't even know how you would do the transfer. Right.
Yeah.
And then he's going to have an answer for that. And then you could say, well, I talked to somebody and you talked to me, frankly. And you said,
Okay.
I would definitely do it for $30,000. Okay. I'd do it right now.
And you say there's been a lot of other people asking too. You just make like an urgency. Yeah, like, I'm talking to other people.
Now I want my cut. I want my cut out of this. I'm giving you this advice. What do you think? This is free.
So my opening bid should be double of what he offered. Then I guess.
No.
We settle somewhere in the middle.
That sounds disrespectful.
25. 25.
It's like there's like so many of these scenes in The Sopranos. Now we both know that $10,000 is an insult. I understand. That's your opening bid. I'm willing to go up to 25 with you. And if we do it,
okay.
It's yours, you own it, and I never speak with you.
Yeah, but
again.
Don't pull a leotardo and get someone hurt.
I'm all for this. I want to hear how this goes. Somebody says, okay. Make him an offer he can refuse.
Okay. Go down. Say, how about 8?
Oh, you can just have it.
I mean, or you know what? Fuck it. You want to save yourself a little stress and a little time and all this stuff? Take his offer.
No, go
take the highest.
Get a couple extra grand out of the deal.
But make sure you get the money in the bank before they transfer it over. You never know.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to pay you in Dogecoin.
Right.
Take some Dogecoin. Yeah, a little bit.
No.
Can anybody help me get at Vic Berger on Twitter? Like, there's this guy. He lives in, I don't know where Mechelen is. I'm not sure where that is. But
Mechelen.
And his real name is Bjorn Klaes, and he owns Vic Berger. And I've tried over the years, and he's just been a total jerk.
Vic Berger on Twitter?
Yeah.
What's your name on Twitter?
Vic Berger 4, IV.
I like the 4.
That's fine.
All right.
All right, listen, cool. Folks, it's 11:30. If you want to keep listening to the show and chatting and talking to us, you will have to go over to Patreon and become a member. Members know what to do. Patreon.com/OfficeHoursLive. Next week we'll be back. By the way, if you go to I've got a new shirt that's available now. That's the No More Bullshit Tim Heidecker stand-up special shirt. And that's available where now?
TimHeidecker.com/store.
TimHeidecker.com/store. There's also a Yellow River Boys, disgusting Yellow River Boys water vessel, water container, or liquid container. I think that's all we have today. Continue.
Next week's a big fun show.
Thanks
Doug's
to the
birthday show.
Yeah, next week is Doug's birthday show, which he's requested us not acknowledge, but we will anyways. And don't forget to like and subscribe our show and share it with your best friends. Comment on the podcast. Say how much you enjoy Vic and Doug.
I'm going to wear a Daft Punk helmet their whole show.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be back shortly with After Hours.
I'm going to put a dummy in my seat and just have a mask on and have drop, like, just a playlist of random sounds that just plays at the FaceTime party snoozer.
Great show. See tonight's stress.
Tonight on your nightly program, a vaccine. Try to lose this.
A woman's like you. Yeah! Circle back.
Amen.
Ooh, yeah. How do you like me now?